Hello, winners. Welcome back to another crazy episode of One Nothing Podcast. I'm your host, Amanda. Of course, we have your host, David, here.
Hey, guys. What's up?
Our host, Rachel, sends her love. She just won first place in a dog competition, though, on this past weekend. So congrats, Rachel. But she is
Who's
not
that?
This one. Rachel.
Who are you talking about?
Our third co-host, David, Rachel.
Oh, yes. Yeah, Rachel. Yeah, I remember her.
Still alive and well.
That's great.
We do
Congrats
have-
on the dog contest.
Yeah, she is really exciting. She's really proud. We have two very special guests with us today, and we are very excited to introduce them to you guys. From across the pond, we have Liam and Billy, hosts of Let's Talk About. Hi, guys.
Hello, everyone. How are we all?
Hello.
We're doing great. How are you guys doing?
Yeah, good.
Living the dream, as always.
Living the dream. That's what I like to hear. If you were saying living a nightmare, I would end this recording right now.
We didn't say whose dream it was, but we're living one.
That's a good point. It's a good point. Yeah. Somebody somewhere in some third world country is dreaming about this life.
Someone with a very sad life.
And they're going to get it. They're going to realize it wasn't very worth dreaming about. No,
yep. Yeah, right.
So I'm very happy to have you guys here. This is a pretty twisted episode we have planned for you. Before we get into that, I'm going to have you guys, if you can, introduce yourself, introduce your podcast, any of our listeners that haven't happened upon you yet. We have played your trailer, so I'm sure most of them are going to know you. But if you could, just tell us a little bit about yourselves.
You can go first, mate.
So me and Liam, we talk about anything and everything. Anything from true crime to hauntings. And the podcast is called Let's Talk About. So we like to have a bit of fun with it. You know, we'll have a laugh. We're dead, upbeat, happy people most of the time.
Yeah, you might be. I don't know about me. But yeah,
And we like to be as sort of fan oriented as we can. We try to, get ourselves involved with as many people as we can. I think it's all about having fun in this sort of industry, and the community is brilliant. So, yeah, we're all about that.
I love that. Really good answer. Are you going to let Billy speak on your behalf, Liam? Or?
Well, he's pretty much said everything, hasn't he? I mean.
So you should have represented you ideally.
I'll be his narrator.
Yeah, there we go. So we could just call you a zookeeper if you want. I mean, just, beat him to the punch. But
that's a bit harsh.
Just kidding.
She's just getting started, man.
Oh, yeah. I have to ask a question now. Where do you see Liam managing in a zoo?
What do you mean?
Like which animal?
Monkeys.
Yeah. I'm gonna say like you have like a finite knowledge in like a very random like armadillos or something. Like just
armadillos.
You specialize in one particular
aardvarks.
Aardvark even better, or like those adorable little red pandas that don't really need any help. You just walk around commenting on how cute they look. I feel like that'd be a good one. I would take that job. So speaking of your name, let's talk about who was the brains behind that. How did you choose that name? Because I really like that. It's expressive, but it's unique. And what was your process with choosing your name?
Well, I'm going to take the win on that because I think it was mine, wasn't it? What was it you come up with? You something about convincing, wasn't it? Because it all started when we were arguing about if we believed in ghosts or not.
Yeah, quite literally. I think I came up originally with convince me.
Yeah.
And it like ... like that. So convince me if this exists, and it was going to be a whole thing where it would be me or Liam trying to convince one another if something.
Because everyone realized that was very limited.
Yeah, we limited ourselves a little bit with that. So then Liam came up with something simple, but works, and that was just let's talk about. So because we literally talk about everything. So
yeah.
Good job. That's great, Liam. You are getting a promotion in the zoo effective immediately. You are now giraffes. Small onion.
He was hoping for penguins.
Yeah. We're gonna work up the penguins. I know about your bird thing, don't you worry. So
I hate birds, but I like penguins. Don't ask how
penguins are birds though. They're just like polar birds.
Yeah, but they're not really birds because they can't fly.
How about ostriches? Okay, well, you down with ostriches?
Yeah.
No, they're too big.
Okay, so you need something they small can't fly and flightless. Yeah, chickens.
Yeah, but they can run like hell.
Yeah, they can kick. They can kick you too.
Exactly.
Penguins can waddle quite ferociously. So
ostriches. Ostriches. Oh my God, I can't say it. Ostriches are. Oh my God, I can't get that word out. It's not.
Think about this, Liam. Think about being like on the ground and all these penguins just keep coming and jumping on you. And now you can't escape. You
never
can't
escape, waves.
Man. Somehow they have tied you down. Penguin, sir.
I feel like that's in his dreams. I think that's the point.
No, that's
the dream he said he was living when he...
Oh, shit.
That's actually the end of our, is it fourth episode, where we've done about how we would survive a zombie apocalypse and we got to pick an animal each. Obviously, Amanda, you won our little giveaway on that.
Yes.
I did.
My story
ended. That's a good episode. I enjoyed that. You guys had
my story ended with me getting eaten by my own pet penguin. So,
That's right. Yeah. I'm surprised to hear that you like them, actually. Matter of fact, one would think you are traumatized, but...
Well, I haven't seen an actual zombie penguin yet, so until I see one of them, I'll stick with penguins.
Okay, good. I thought maybe it was just like you guys had really good healthcare there and like you were able to get over that.
They do have really good healthcare there.
It might be free. It doesn't mean it's good.
Free as I'm throwing a band-aid and ushering you out the door, right?
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
So how do you two decide what episodes that you want to cover? Who kind of brings the inspiration behind the content?
I think it's a bit of both, isn't it? We all
we try to record like three or four all at once, and we usually have like two each, and we just keep it a surprise, really.
Yeah.
Okay, that's a page out of my book. I like that.
Luckily, we haven't got to the point where we've both got the same episode.
Yeah, not yet.
which will probably happen at some point.
It's coming. The next one, zombie penguins. You both are going to come up with it. So for those who maybe haven't found your guys' podcast, what is your favorite episode or what's like the one that you'd like people to start out on? Are you like a day one kind of person? You start out on the first episode?
The first episode was good, wasn't it? I mean, that was all about your ghost hunting equipment that you've got, which I essentially said was a waste of money.
that was the first time I think I've ever heard someone say, yeah, the first one. Everyone usually says, do not listen to the first one.
Including ourselves. Yeah, it's impressive.
I'm not on it.
I think we have better ones. Like I say, I think the zombie ones is good. I think the Pendle Hill Witches is good. I actually listened back to our first episode the other day and our voices sound hilarious. We almost sound scared.
Yeah, that's probably the
trembling.
Only
thing.
We're both like, hello, welcome to Let's Talk About.
My name's Billy.
So would you have to agree, Billy, that episode one is where your starting point would be?
I think for a number of reasons, obviously, it's where it all began. And the idea behind it, a lot of people liked it straight away. And I think it sort of built our personality straight off the ball, Max. So, yeah, I think I'd have to agree with that. Don't get me wrong, in terms of quality, I'll agree with Liam. I think, like, the zombie episode and a few of the others, I enjoyed the aliens one as well. I thought that was a laugh. But yeah, the first one, it holds a bit more of a special place in the heart. Oh, how cringy, eh?
So lame, he has feelings.
Yeah, no,
it's Liam. It's Liam, not lame.
Oh, gosh. So you probably know this is coming, Liam, you for sure. I'm not sure about you, Billy, but we have a little game here we like to play with our buddies that come onto the show, and it's called Red Flag, Green Flag.
I don't like how Liam smiled at me when you were speaking about that there.
It was devilish.
Tell you about it.
Oh, great. Here we go.
So Red Flag, Green Flag, pretty straightforward. Each of you come up with one positive attribute about yourselves that a stranger who doesn't know you would view as a good thing, and then something that a stranger would view as like a, ooh, let me put a boundary around him and stay far away.
Right. Okay. Yeah, I like that. I like that. So who's going first? Me or Liam, is it?
Yeah, Liam, have you got one straight off the bat leg?
I've got a
go on then.
Okay. So
and let me just interject and say, if they're not good enough, David will make you ask. You will ask for
another. Yeah, I am quality control for these, so please be good, guys.
USDA grade A questions.
Oh, yeah.
That's fair enough. So I think a green flag would be I'm very outgoing, I'm very smiley, and I do not judge people on first sight at all. Never have done, never will. So I like to think of myself as a very inviting person. I'd say that's a green flag.
One second, sir.
Yeah.
That passes. That's good. I accept.
Yes.
It.
Yeah. Oh, I got the green light on the green flag.
I like it. I like that. And you don't judge people right off the bat. That's hard to do. Good for you, man. I like it. I judge right off the bat.
Yeah.
I really appreciate that.
Yeah. Good, good.
All so right. Pass number Proceed. One.
Right. Proceed. Now, this is where I'm struggling. red flag.
Your red flag's easy. I can do that for you if you want.
Oh.
I didn't like, yeah, he's positive.
Look
about
at his
that.
Eyes. Look they're lighting up, man. Those eyes just lit up. All right, let's go.
It's probably my lack of being able to commit to something. Well, I wouldn't say commit to something, but...
Don't be saying that. If your missus listens back to this, she's going to be running for the hills.
Notice, and trying to get in touch with me. That is, it's...
It's Billy's ability to answer his phone is his red flag.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, did you say his ability?
Ability to answer his phone.
Ability?
Yeah. Oh, Jesus Christ.
You don't acknowledge my pun, I'm going to keep repeating
no,
it.
No,
all the jokes I send you, you say aren't good, and then you've just said that.
I have never once said your joke. Maybe one time I've said your joke wasn't good. Majority of jokes you tell are quite funny.
It means he took that one to heart. You got him good there.
Oh, okay, good. Yeah. There we go. I know you're red flag, Liam. No, I'm just kidding.
I'll agree with Liam, though. That is probably my biggest red flag is I'm very hard to get a hold of.
Sometimes I think it'd be easier to kill you and then get a Ouija board.
It probably would, you know, because I'd try and come through, mate.
He won't see it coming. That's why. He won't see the call coming in. That's why he won't ask. Exactly. Just kill him. It's over. All right, I accept that. Sir, Liam, you're on board, so let's hear it.
Jesus. Green flag.
I'm going to call him out on this if he's wrong as well, so I'll join you.
Shut up.
Thank you, Billy. Thank you, Billy.
Green flag right now. Jesus Christ. I've known about this for months. I don't know. I like to think I'm quite funny. I think I can make people laugh quite easily, usually by being an idiot.
Oh, it's annoying me that I have to agree with him.
That's your green flag, right?
Yeah.
Yes. Okay.
Yeah. He's got that sort of quick fire sort of banter, if that makes sense.
Yeah, quick with a comeback.
Yeah. He's he's got clever inputs.
Sometimes too quick.
Yeah. It's quite scary.
Yeah. All right. Yeah.
Are we allowing that one?
Except
I'm going to allow it. I'm going to allow it.
Gives you the stamp of approval.
I think in the trailer park that we're a part of, I think you have had a few good ones in there. So I'm gonna let that one slide. Cool. But the red flag, sir, you got to come correct, okay?
He means it because he has a sweatband on right now.
That's not just perfect, Anna. So.
There's your red flag.
Red flag is David is joining us straight out of 1998.
I could do you a list if you want. But now, top of it, probably...
You could do you a novel.
Yeah. Now, I get very agitated very quickly, and like if one single thing annoys me, I want to just smash the room up.
I agree. Yeah. The slightest thing gets on his nerves.
Yeah, like literally one thing can go wrong, and it's just like, that's my day ruined.
Yeah.
Give me an example of a small one.
Perfect example is when I'm at work. If I'm on a breakfast shift and I burn a slice of toast, I haven't been known to just throw the toaster across the kitchen.
Yeah. Everybody will know about the problems that day. Like all his life issues come out at once as well.
And then they're talking about you later. Like, did you hear about that guy? He can't make toast. Oh my gosh. I'm pissed.
Hey, Billy, do you work with him?
I have done. We did.
Oh, you did? Okay.
Very cool.
Yes. Yeah. That's I worked cool. in the kitchen room. So, yeah.
can I tell him the story, Billy?
Tell us the story.
Never a question.
About the fryers.
Oh, yeah.
So famously, where we live, we have a dish called a chicken parmo.
Mention my age as well.
I'm mentioning your age, man. You were grown up. You were 18, 19. You should have known better.
I was 17.
Same thing. You're 17. You're not 7.
Oh, that makes such a difference. Yeah. He was 17. Oh, give him all. Yeah.
I need some leeway here.
Sure. Because if you were 16.
That needed parent signature makes all the difference. Yeah. In your
no, I need the leeway because of how stupid this is.
Oh, I'm
so
ready.
We have a famous dish called the chicken parmo. It's just breaded chicken with bechamel sauce and cheese on. I think there's a similar one that uses like a tomato sauce. I think Australia have that sort of thing. Well, I was getting Billy to breadcrumb the mouth on me, didn't I, mate?
Yeah, you did. You certainly did.
After you've done about 10, your fingers end up absolutely like covered in breadcrumbs.
Yeah, caked in that shit. Yeah.
So I said to him, he was like, oh, what do I do with my hands? I was like, I mean, first of all, I was thinking, well, wash them, obviously. But instead, I said to him, well, just stick your fingers in the deep fat fryer.
He didn't say that. He just pointed at it.
And then I said to him, then you can just bite them off. And then I turned around and he's literally there, like inches away from sticking his hands in a deep fat fryer. It's like maybe 200 degrees.
Oh, shit.
I didn't know. I'd never been in a kitchen. I'd never even seen a deep fat fryer before. He didn't say it was a deep fat fryer. He just pointed at it.
You guys are listening to the birth of chicken fingers, everybody. That was how it started.
Nice.
Yeah.
That's pretty funny. I'm not going to lie.
We did get you with like going, you're looking in the freezer for salmon legs and pork wings and stuff, didn't
you
we?
You did, mate. You did. You did.
So he didn't do it. You stopped him.
No, he didn't do it. Luckily, I turned out and stopped him.
I don't think he'd be podcasting right now on account of no fingers.
They're like, hey, guys, really? No, seriously. I didn't. But they're delicious.
I'd be getting called Billy Bones, wouldn't I? Just bones with my fingers.
I mean, your green flag would certainly look a lot different because if you're like, oh, I don't judge anyone, everybody judges you, Billy. Everybody's
Yeah, that wouldn't work anymore. I feel like I'd be a very different person.
You come across all some right. like poor hypothermia victim. Like, how did you lose yours?
Oh, yeah, I ate them. So screw you, Liam, but thank you, Liam, at the same time. So you get a Liam red flag and a green flag there as well.
I like it.
That's good. That's good. I would have let you put your fingers in there because I kind of want to see what's going on, you know, see what happens.
I just want to see what's going on.
I'm sure you would pull them out quick enough, though. I'm
guessing. I mean, you got a human pommel.
He just stands by people's tables with his hand on their plate. Like, how is this going?
Liam, that is acceptable, sir.
It counts.
Good job. You get my approval.
Yes.
Very nice. It's rare to pass through on the first time, so consider yourselves very lucky. He's a hard grade for a teacher, let me just say. So our next little segment here, we are going to run our question of the week from last week. We had a wild one. We talked about the story of John, his tragic death, and we left off with a new question of the week. I want your guys' responses first before we move on to listening to our listener replies. So our question was, what was the most dangerous hobby or interest that you've ever had? So I'm going to have all of us go around and kind of answer. Let's go ahead and start with Liam, then do Billy, and then we'll go to David. Take it away.
Most dangerous interest or hobby?
It can be a current one or one that you had in the past.
I don't know. Can I call some of the weird stuff I used to do when I was like 6 or 7 year old?
Parental a hobby.
Define weird stuff.
Well, to me, it was a hobby because I used to think it was hilarious. So when I was a kid, when I lived with my mom and dad, obviously, we used to have a big tree outside our house and I used to tie a bit of string around it and then hide behind the wall and wait for people to come along on bikes and then pull the rope and neck and go flying. I class that as a hobby. I mean, it wasn't very dangerous for me. It was dangerous for other people. But...
Blueprint for a serial killer or what?
Jesus. So your hobby is just injuring others. Okay.
What was it?
Okay,
I nearly fried Billy's hands. I thought maybe time to calm down.
Okay, I'll accept. What about you, Billy?
So dangerous hobby. I'd say it's really strange, but I used to like setting huge fires on. We have what's
that's
called
not a
like,
hobby. That's arson.
Yeah, but. It,
Wait. You would start huge fires? Is that what he said? Is that
yeah.
what he heard?
Yeah.
Said the first thing
that's not a hobby. Let me finish.
Please finish. It's a crime.
I didn't know about this.
Literally a punishable crime.
This is before we met, Liam. This is before we met.
I'm not being linked to this.
No, I used to put them out, but that was the whole. My dad was a firefighter, which makes it worse. Oh, okay. But yeah,
you just had to bring your father to work day or something.
I was going to make a terrible joke, man.
I was just going to say,
well,
my dad's never been around, so I was kind of hoping he'd turn
up. Oh shit! God damn! God damn, Billy!
I read your mind, mate.
Oh, Billy!
Just a poor young lad, just setting fires, waiting for his father to come.
You know, as you do.
So what was your hobby? Oh, let me tell you about the devastating, traumatic time in my life. I will accept it. I guess that counts as a hobby and is quite dangerous. So.
Yeah, I used to climb cliffs. That's maybe the other thing, but barring that, yeah, they're the main ones.
Interesting that that isn't the first one that came to you. Setting fires was
all I heard in my head was dangerous, and I just thought that the fires, because I nearly killed one of my friends in the process of one.
Jesus. Holy shit.
He was involved. He was.
His house. I just set it on fire.
Yeah, I didn't just like set a ring of fire around him or anything like that. But we always put them out. Just for any officers or anyone watching, we did, but always put them out.
There you go, police. You can rest now, knowing that.
Just trying to live up to my dad or see him. It was one of the other.
Okay, I will accept that as a hobby. I am also going to accept mountain climbing because realistically, that's probably more along the lines of danger, you know, like to yourself. Sounds like you are pretty safe. It sounds like you're subjecting other people to great bodily harm, but you yourself seems like you were pretty safe for that hobby. So I will accept it. David, do you have an answer for us?
Yeah, at around 12 or 13, I had a dirt bike, so I would jump stuff
a lot.
Jump stuff in your dirt bike?
Yeah. My mom hated it, so she would be totally against me using it. So I had to come up with ideas of how to use it. So I would wait till like a Saturday morning and she was asleep, and I would go and walk it out to this dirt path behind our house. And me and my little brother would go driving. And one time we actually jumped a street. A whole street. So it's like this dirt path that comes up to a street, right? And I was trying to scare my bro. I was like, I'm going to go as fast as I possibly can and make, you know, he doesn't get scared. This guy doesn't ever get scared. And so I realized I made a mistake and I was trying to brake, but we fishtailed pretty bad. Like we were going to crash if I didn't continue on. So I just continued on and we jumped street completely. I mean, we're talking Evel Knievel to the other side. Instead of landing like on the cliche, the road or whatever, there's a ditch and we land perfectly inside that ditch. Bam, just the whole bike. I actually have still a scar down here where I hit the speedometer super hard. I started bleeding. My brother went flying over me and he slid like all the way down the street, like cliche. And he was like all scratched the fuck up.
Yeah, so was your brother in a basket affixed to the front of the bike?
He was behind me. He was behind me. So I went down. He just kept going straight. So yeah, it was. Pulling that thing is heavy, so pulling it out was a bitch. And then we're walking back home, and I see my mom standing there in like in her nightgown, pissed off, yelling at us.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, because she saw you?
Yeah, she didn't see it. She saw that we weren't there and the motorcycle was gone, so she was looking for us.
I thought she just woke up like, ugh, I know that they're jumping roads right now.
I destroyed that motorcycle that day.
Jeez. God.
Well, that is definitely a dangerous hobby, jumping streets with your unsecured brother.
It's a cooler story than setting fires.
Who knows? One of those might have been a victim and you just didn't know. So
you just keep... That sounded like a scene out of Die Hard.
Oh, gosh. Me, I'd say my only, I've had a couple dangerous hobbies, I guess, quote unquote, but probably the most dangerous one is that there was a park in Ohio, and which is a state in the U.S., if you guys aren't aware.
Yeah.
And it's there. There basically is like this national park there, and it's just gorges and cliffs and big ravines and lots of climbing and stuff, and it's a lot of fun. And I would go there all the time, and there's this one little part of the trail where it makes a U around this big canyon that's probably about 100, maybe a little less, foot drop onto some really sharp, jagged rocks. And they had installed, like, for whatever reason, a water pipe that attaches the two sides. And as kids, we used to crawl across that pipe. And really, really stupid. But that was like a huge thing. We would intentionally go there just to walk the pipe. And it wasn't super long. It was maybe like 30 feet long. But it wasn't very wide. I'll have to send you a picture of it sometime, David. But it was a really steep drop. If you were to fall, you're definitely dying because it's a straight fall under rocks. So, I don't know what possessed me as a child to want to do that, but I did that often, and I've walked that thing probably 24 or more times. And I'm not sure. I would imagine that it's either still there or they've got it probably gated off. But scary stuff.
I would hope.
Yeah, it's just a regular, degular pipe. So if you fall, ain't nothing saving you.
God, that's terrifying.
We had something similar to that, though. You know the beach park on the down near the sea?
Yes.
Yeah, obviously there's the pipes in it that go out from that, from the old paddling pole thing. You used to crawl through the pipe, didn't you, into the park?
Yes.
A lot of times we've done that.
Very dangerous.
Stupid idea.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. I think it would be also dangerous to crawl through it, but it was like you couldn't get into it. It was in the ground on both sides, so you had to walk on top of it. Mm. And it's like cylindrical, so your balance is tricky.
You had to walk on top of it?
Yeah.
Holy shit.
You didn't crawl through it.
Inside it or something.
No. We walked on top of it across. No, inside would have been better, but no, on top you can like look over and look straight down, and it is nerve wracking. So also
it makes it far worse. God damn.
He said no.
When you do like cliff climbing and you sort of look, you're always looking up. You look down, you're gonna die. That's what goes through my head. Looking down, walking along a thin piece of pipe, that's terrifying to me. I can't even.
I don't think
I looked down until I'd like get in the middle, and then I would casually like kind of glance. But for the most part, I just had to look straight because I'm not one that can look down when I'm in heights like that. So.
Wow.
Probably not smart, but I'm still here to talk about it. I wonder if someone actually ever died there. I would imagine with enough people that
probably. You probably died in another universe. You slipped.
Yeah.
You died.
I'm such a bore all the time. My body's on some rocks in an Ohio park.
Meanwhile, in another universe, Billy's lighting fires to cities right now. London is burning.
That was a different time period.
no one would care anyway if London was burning.
Wow, that was, where did that come from? That was dark.
Nobody likes London.
Oh, okay.
Just because you're a southerner at heart, Billy.
Oh, right, okay, yeah.
Essex
Big Ben's getting third degree burns.
And you guys know Sean, right? Sean's from the north, is he not?
Yeah, he's about 2 hours away from us.
Yeah. Funny story on that note while we're on that, because Liam and I were talking about something, and I forget what it was involving, but you had asked me how far from something I was, and I was like, oh, I'm like, not very far, like a couple hours. And Liam's like, wow, a couple hours, you could be in a whole different country. It's not the case here. We're stuck in one shithole the whole time.
You can't. No, this is worse. Here is worse. Believe me. But this place is horrendous. Well,
it was when we were talking about the fact that you can like drive for like 10 hours straight and still be in the same state.
Yeah, we'd be in a different continent.
We can drive from one end of the country to the other and be back in 10 hours.
Yeah. Quite literally, yeah.
Wow. I mean, we couldn't be much further north.
Well, we can do England, Scotland, and Wales in 10 hours.
Well, yeah, exactly.
Easily.
Yeah,
that's 3 countries.
Yeah,
that's so nice to be so well traveled because everything it has its own culture everywhere you go, so you can see a lot without doing much. I can literally drive for 30 hours and I have the same assholes that I got here, just somewhere else. It's like the same.
Oh, it's not much different here. It's like if you go to Scotland, you're gonna get headbutted, or if you go down Wales, you're gonna get stabbed. It's.
Get a Glasgow kiss.
Yeah, exactly.
Headbutted by like the sheep that roam Scotland, or by a person?
The sheep are in Wales.
Oh, okay. So the sheep are stabbing. Okay.
Yeah, to any Scottish or Welsh fans, we do appreciate you, but you know what I'm talking about.
Well, the same with our American friends. They know what's up. So
yeah,
I just did a job to Lubbock. I live in San Antonio, which is kind of in the middle of Texas.
Yeah.
And I drove to Lubbock, and that was a little over 4 hours driving there.
Wow.
And it still wasn't even to the outside of Texas. And that's in the middle. It has to be like
any different than San Antonio?
Yes. It definitely looks different. Yeah. It's huge. There's a huge difference for sure between San Antonio and Lubbock.
Bigger than England.
Yeah. It makes sense. Yeah. Yeah.
That's just ridiculous.
Florida's a knock.
After this, I'm going to Laredo, Texas after this. So that's 2 hours. And that's
Texas
actually at
the
border,
state, isn't it? In America, I believe
it's the third biggest state. It's behind California and Alaska, and then it's us.
Right. Oh, of course, Alaska. Yeah.
Alaska.
But they don't
count the whole tomorrow. About an hour and a half.
Oh dear. Yeah, which is about the size of maybe a third, if that, of Texas. Not even that, is
even
it?
Even that, you fell out.
Yeah. No. Nowhere near.
Jesus.
Wow.
Yeah, we're very small over it.
That's cool though. I don't know. One day we'll visit, and that'd be cool to be so well traveled without having to go so far. So that's kind
of. I would love to visit for sure. Yeah.
London isn't as bad as Liam says it.
Yes, it is.
It's not. It's
yes,
not.
It is.
Maybe we'll stay away from any flammable objects here with Billy, but yeah.
The only thing you'll see in London that is British is red phone boxes. That's all you're going to see, the remotely British.
What's funny is you mentioned headbutting, right, and stabbings, right?
Yeah.
Dude, yeah.
Anywhere you go here, you're liable to get shot.
Honestly, that's about...
No matter where you go, this is a dangerous place, dude. Especially here in Texas where everyone has a gun. Everyone has a gun.
Yeah.
Nuts.
Yeah.
Closest we get is like spud guns, isn't it?
Yeah, pretty much. Airsoft or something. Spud guns. Like a little BB gun.
I know. I watched videos compared to of police in your country versus ours, and it's just so ironic because for the most part, your police don't really carry firearms. So they have batons and things like that.
It's here I was just going to say, like, over here, we have like a special team. We have armed response.
Yeah.
And just the other day, actually, where we are, there was a McDonald's and somebody was in there with like a toy wooden gun.
Mm.
And armed response turned up, and everybody's around because it's all brand new. But you just think armed response for a little wooden toy gun.
Oh, gosh.
Yeah.
I used to play football with obviously some coppers and that. Mm. Say football, soccer for you lot.
Yeah.
And I think they told me that like in our area, there's only like 24 police officers that are actually allowed to carry guns.
Yeah.
Which you just mentioned.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
I think they've all got tasers and stuff like that.
Yeah.
Yeah, we got tasers and mace and all that. But I don't know if you guys had heard this one. We recently had, I forget what state, we had a police officer that had detained a suspect in his car. And as he was walking past, an acorn fell and bounced off the roof. And this man screamed like he'd been shot in the face and unloaded his clip into his car. Somehow, despite that, missed shooting the suspect at all.
Wow. Wow, that's terrifying.
I know.
Needless to say, he resigned. I believe he resigned.
He did.
Yeah.
I can't imagine why.
I mean, what about the poor victim there. I mean, imagine that, your death certificate, death by acorn. Acorn. You know what I mean?
That's crazy.
Man. Imagine just sitting in the car and the cops outside screaming, I'm hit.
Oh, God.
I've seen the video for that. It's hilarious.
I'll have to
watch it.
It's hilarious, but it's also not hilarious at the same time.
It's hilarious because you know that like the person in the car is okay. But at first I thought for sure that it was like they killed that guy over an acorn, but it's really funny in a super embarrassing kind of way.
Yeah. Never going to live that down. You better move to another country.
Acorn cop, you're nuts. Get it?
Another thing that we take for granted over here, I think, is like the animals. We don't really have anything that's going to kill you here. Like I seen a video come up on TikTok. This was in Florida. And guy's just out in his backyard and there's an alligator just walking past.
I was wondering where the hell you were going with this thing. You were talking about acorns, and then you mentioned animals.
I don't know
what an acorn is.
It just popped into my head. I don't know why, but that's Billy Bridge.
And then the aircon attacked the guy.
Aircon scared the alligator. Snap.
Yeah. Are you talking about the guy who smacks it with the frying pan?
I've seen that one.
Yes, it is that one. Yeah.
Oh man.
Yeah, I think that one was a croc. But either way.
All right.
Well, we do have animal attacks on this show. We do cover animal attacks and animal attack survivors. We have 3 survivor episodes now, called One Something, episode 10, 20, and 30. And our last one was an actual survivor of an alligator.
Yeah.
Lassie and Liberty.
Wow.
It's also the first animal attack episode that we've done a survivor series on that happened in the U.S. because the other two happened in outback of Alberta and Africa.
Yeah.
Right. So creepy animals everywhere.
The most exciting we get is about mosquito bite, isn't it? That's all we get.
You have any snakes, like venomous snake species there?
Don't have venomous. We have snakes. We've got adders and stuff that you get in the woods.
You know what they do have there, Amanda? They have birds.
Yeah, we got
birds.
Seagulls.
Oh, yeah.
We don't have penguins, but we have birds.
Seagulls.
Liam hates birds, man. Isn't that right, Liam?
Especially the seagulls we get. I'm telling you, some of them, they've got fucking tattoos. They're fucking massive.
Chaining.
Like, where would they put their tattoos, man?
They're everywhere. Like, they roll the wings up and everything. They've just got them.
That's good. I like that.
Tyson face tuck.
That bird's got some real gold.
Yeah, it's true.
We'll let that pun slide under. It wasn't that good. It's okay.
So, I'm sorry, man. I didn't hear it.
It wasn't worth hearing. It's honestly. Took a shot and I missed.
Same as that cutler.
Do not edit it out. Do not edit it out. No, I want to hear
in. It. It is staying in. There. If I have to set this building on fire, Billy.
Wait till I'm over there. Reignite the whole thing. I did that.
Yeah. I wouldn't want to, you know, set any commit any arson without somebody to be in danger. So absolutely, you know, you can come do your thing, put the fire out, beckon for dad, all the things. What is up, guys? It's Amanda from the future, here to give you question of the week submissions from our listeners, because at the time of this recording, we didn't have them yet. But you know, I wasn't going to forget you guys. We have some truly terrific responses, so we're going to go through, starting with the Gram, or Instagram. By the way, our question of the week, in case you forgot already, was, what's the most dangerous hobby or activity that you've ever done? We had a few answers for this. So from Instagram, PrissyGirl03, our friend Heather, she said, I'm super boring and vanilla. So the only dangerous hobby I had, beside being totally obsessed with Cedar Point roller coasters, is cross stitching. And hey man, those needles would fuck your fingers up and there was blood and pain. So that's a danger, right? Yeah, I would consider that danger, Heather. We had Yogi's Podcast Network, who said skydiving. Yeah, that counts as a dangerous hobby, my friend. Outrageously Dark, Scary, Beautiful said, being a nurse, solid answer. That is, in this day and age, very dangerous. I Came With Fire Podcast said, does training East African warlords count? I would say so, my friend. I would say so. Heather H. Northcraft, our friend from Leg Mother, Leg Murder, said, dove out of an airplane, and then becoming a parent. And I replied, I don't know which is scarier, which is not a lie. J. Martin 2010, sleeping, some of the dreams I've had. Do you think if we die in our dreams, we die in real life? I certainly hope not, because I've died in my dreams a few times. Angel Heinman said, I get 2 to 3 feet away from wild alligators just to get their picture. Yep, we're Florida. We're bred differently. Hot Garbage Show, our friends Anisha and Buddha Badass said, I went bungee jumping at the fair 1 year. Not sure why I did that. Wouldn't do it now, and I'm surprised I'm still here. Bungee jumping alone is dangerous at the fair. I know Nisha wrote that. I just know. And then Peculiar Pairings Pod, our friends Celine and Matt said, cave spelunking, which, yeah, did you hear the episode? I'd say that's dangerous. And a big thank you to everyone who participated in Question of the Week. It really matters. We love you guys. Thank you for the interaction. What do you guys think? Do you want to go back to the episode, or do you want to hang out here while I walk you through 70 years of modern farming practices? Well, see, it all started in 1874 when my great-great-great-grandfather... I'm just kidding. Let's get back to the episode. So I do have a couple episode-related questions that are kind of teaser hints into what we're going to talk about today. So my first question for you guys, what is your typical response if somebody eats your food without permission, whether it be like a coworker eating your lunch or you saved a little treat and somebody at home ate it? What's your typical response?
Slop.
Just bar none, regardless of age or gender. Just...
Yeah, give me 98. Don't matter. That's my food. Don't touch.
He just goes to the garage, gets a can of gasoline and lights them up.
William just starts breaking chairs and breading his fingers.
Oh god, yeah, just I don't know if somebody eats my food over here. It's a, I feel like that's a huge thing. And could you imagine that?
Depends what it is, isn't that one, Graham?
I disagree. I think you're getting slapped either way out of principle.
But if it's like one of your favorite foods and you have it specifically said,
then the arse inside of me comes out. Yeah.
Does that change at all if it's like, what?
Nice that cock.
I didn't hit it, but I was like, what?
Oh, arson. Oh, fuck. Oh, David, what's your reaction?
If it's in, like in person, I used to slap it out of their hands. What are you doing? What are you doing?
Mouth pull out.
You're lucky I'm not biting your hand right now. Yeah. But if it's like the older it's I've gotten, fire. Like if someone were to get it out of the fridge and it was mine or whatever, I'm like, ah, it's okay. That's all right. Hmm, you know, the solid. Ice cream, it's like, ah, all right, that's cool.
It depends what it is for me.
Right. Beef stroganoff.
Okay, you don't have to tell everyone what you're doing. Your camera's not on. We can't see. It's fine.
Look at Amanda, man.
You've been.
He's not stroking off, all right?
Not yet.
Oh, shit.
Your favorite.
Bold food. Of you to refer to it as beef, but that's cool, you know?
What, beef injection?
You know what that's it is. A lean protein.
What about you, Amanda? What do you do?
I cry in true women fashion. I just get really upset about it because I don't want to like inflict physical injury on someone for something as silly as eating my food, but it's definitely devastating. I'm like, don't touch my food. So yeah, I will cry.
Am I a bad person?
For setting things on fire in retaliation? No.
Oh my God.
No, not at all. Your reactions are perfectly valid. Does your reaction change at all if it's like someone under 18 or are they getting the slap either way?
Yeah, it's even worse if they're under the age of 18. Yeah,
you got to train them right.
Yeah, they're going to learn that respect real quick.
You're going to feel differently here in a little bit. So my next question for you guys, as someone, like you guys have intuitions about things, do you guys typically follow those or listen to that? And to what degree? Are you pretty easy to shut it off? Or if you have like a really intense, intuition about something, do you follow it?
I don't. I mean, like I said, I mean, I'm autistic and have ADHD. I'm just living my own head. I just don't know what to do.
Everyone intuition.
Yeah.
What's that?
Really doesn't even know what it means. I can tell by his face.
I am sat here a little confused. I won't lie.
So intuition is like the ability to see something without using your eyes. So like if you have, if you talk to a friend and they say something, but you have a really strong feeling that they're lying or they're not being honest about something, like are you one to act on that or do you just kind of let it go? Like what's?
Oh, I'll act on it, but I'll think it through first. Okay. You know, it kind of depends on the person. Like if it's just a blatant, I know that this is a blatant lie, then I'll just call them out on it. If this is, it depends on the situation and what it's about, if that makes sense.
Yeah, makes sense. So you're just off to the side flicking a lighter in one hand as you listen. Okay.
Yeah, pretty much. Like if it's okay. Liam, I'd just go along with it and then question him about it later.
Now we're getting stabbed over. I get it.
Yeah, not worth putting my fingers in a fryer. Like that.
He's going to wake up in the middle of the night and he's going to have a bowl of just, what's that? The coating, the crumb coating, just dipping your fingers in it, like people dip your hand in water, seeing if you fry the bed.
Yeah.
See if you have an answer
fire, for fire with fire.
I used to ignore it. I used to ignore it when I was younger and then eventually would see that my intuition was correct the first time. And so now, as I've gotten older, I listen to it. I respond to it. And I find out that shit's right. So most of the time, it's dead on, you know?
Very good. I like it. I would say I am learning just now to trust my intuition and to listen to it because it's been proving itself pretty accurate, mainly about just intuitions about people. Or like fears about things happening. So I am learning to lean into it and kind of listen to it more. And although I don't let it necessarily form a decision for me, it keeps me from jumping in, like head into something. So yeah, interesting. My third and final question, if you had a family member lose custody of their child and it was between the child going to you as a primary guardian or going to the foster system, would you take responsibility for that child? Why or why not?
Yeah, I would. I'd take the child in if it's family. Because I've known people who have gone into the foster system and I've seen, obviously some people do have a positive effect from it and, you know, they're fine, but I've seen the dark side of it as well. So I think I'd give that child a chance to be still involved with a family and brought up by family. And at the end of the day, it's still my bloodline. So yeah, I'd take the child.
Good answer.
Liam?
Yeah, I would. Yeah. I mean, the only thing I can relate to is my two nieces. And I mean, as much as they drive me mental.
Yeah.
But yeah, I would do.
Yeah. I've actually done it before. That's kind of why I said yes. Yeah. So.
Wow.
Mainly because, like you said, you know, it's family at the end of the day, isn't it? So.
Yeah. The situation I had was my partner's sister. Don't even go there without Liam. That's all I'm going to say. That's my partner's sister. She had some issues going on with her mum, and her mum was going to kick her out. No one was going to take her in. I didn't want to see where she'd end up if she left. So me and my partner obviously took her in. We had her for about two and a half years. We were still very young as well. You know, I think we were 22 and 23 when we took her in. She was 15 and 16, so it's teenage ages as well. So it was tricky, but I think she deserved the chance, and then she worked things out with her mum, and yeah, it was all fixed and everything ended up all right. So I'm glad we did.
Very good. Good answer.
Can you ask that question again, will you? What was the question?
So if you had a family member who had a child and they, for whatever reason, the child was between going to you or going into the foster system, are you going to take guardianship of that child?
Fuck no. I'm just kidding. Sorry. No. If it's a it's family, right? So yeah. I probably do what I can to help
family. I don't believe you, David. Not after that.
Sure. Yes. Yeah. Definitely would take in family.
Nice. Set up in a nice
raise them right. You know, our Angie's grandson, he actually lived with her when I met her. And so we started dating, and it wasn't very long before she moved in with me. And that meant bringing her grandson, who is my grandson now, as far as I'm concerned. He stayed with us for a year. Oh, it was close to a year and a half. And I don't have children of my own. So it was kind of neat to, like, he was nine. So it was like, you know, it's like you're playing dad, right? You're teaching him things.
Wipe their own ass at that age, though, right?
Yeah, thank God. And you know what was really cool about it is that he will, you know, like if he does something wrong, he'll come and tell us, but he'll be really sad about telling us.
He'll
come and say, "I did this, and I'm sorry, and I didn't want to tell you, but I felt it's the right thing to do."
That takes guts for a kid, though.
It's definitely huge guts for that kid. That kid's great. His name's Dylan. He's fantastic. So I miss him. He lives in Virginia now, and we get to see him like every summer. So
my partner's sister wouldn't tell me shit.
Really?
Yeah, I just have the police at the door or something. I'm like, oh man, what's happened now?
The police were involved? Holy shit.
Yeah, it wasn't easy.
Oh, she still
Billy's matches.
I was thinking the same thing.
Well, excellent answers. Me personally, I would have to, if it's my nephew or something, just because, like you said, the alternative is the foster system, which is not, I'm definitely not saying I'm a vote above the foster system, probably pretty equal in terms of the ability to care for a child. But if that's family and I'm the only one left between you going to the foster system, I would have to. I would just, my nephew's like super energetic. Let's just say that. So I would not be happy about it. Let me just say, but I would do it.
Yeah, that's fair. I think that's most people's option, really, isn't it? Yeah.
Well, those were some terrific answers, guys. Thank you for joining us today. That's all we got for. No, I'm just kidding. wrap up on our episode questions. So good answers.
Well, I'll be a shit on a biscuit. It's time for a trailer break from our goodest pal Joe over at Tales. Trails and Taverns podcast. Give him a listen and find him wherever you get your podcasts.
Hi, my name is Joe, and I'm the host of Tales, Trails, and Taverns. In this show, Rob and I like to take an active approach by hiking out to haunted, creepy, and abandoned places. We love the adventure and discovering the dark history of the locations we visit. We release a new episode every Friday on Apple, Spotify, and Patreon, as well as bonus episodes on varying Tuesdays. But don't just take my word for it. We have great listeners who have left some awesome reviews.
Oh, I love adventure.
But during those times when I can't get to the Outback, I like to listen to Tales, Trails, and Taverns. Those boys dig deep into the dark history, and their first-hand experiences really delivers the excitement. This podcast is a beaut. Back when I was the governor, I didn't have time to listen to podcasts. But now that I'm retired from politics, I can focus on my two passions, pumping iron and listening to Tales, Trails, and Taverns.
It doesn't matter who we are. What matters is that we all listen to Tales, Trails, and Taverns.
I love listening to the podcast. Wait, what's a podcast again?
It's an audio show you listen to.
Oh, like on the radio?
Sort of, yeah.
Okay. I love listening to Tulips and Tiddlywinks.
It's Tales, Trails, and Taverns.
And what do you do again?
Hike to scary places and drink beer.
Sounds terrifying. Okay. I like to listen to Terrifying Tea Time, but not on the radio.
Okay, thank you. You did great.
You're welcome. Say, you're kind of cute. Is there a Mrs. Tales, Trails, and Taverns?
Now you get it?
No actual celebrities or political figures have endorsed Tales, Trails, and Taverns. All the reviews you've heard were written, poorly, by the host, George Lennox, as well as the impersonations of celebrities, politicians, and movie characters. I meant no harm. Please don't sue me.
Holy fuck. What a trailer. Now back to an intimate evening with Rosie O'Donnell. Just kidding.
We're going to get into the meat of our story today, and I'm going to warn you guys listening, this is a very disturbing case. We chose a real, real bright, happy one for our friends here. It's going to be difficult to hear at times. This is a case involving the death of a young child, and if this is too much, please don't hesitate to skip this one. We will get it. We'll see you for the next one. In the meantime, those who are coming along with us, Liam and Billy, are you willing to step into the 1-0 time machine with us for the first time?
Yeah, I don't know what I've signed up for here by that pre-warning there, but yes.
Yeah, it's almost like your little red phone booths, but like cooler and aromatic.
Time machine right there.
That's our time machine. So we're cramming into that little thing. And we're going back not super far. We're just going to sometime in late 2013 or early 2014. And I say sometime because unfortunately we're dealing with one of those unique victims that whose birthday is not known or not published anywhere. So we are focusing on one of two twin boys that belong to Mother Geraldine Mason. And she lives in Southwest Atlanta, Georgia, which is the state in the U.S., not the country, for our international friends. Geraldine was a single mother of three. She had three young children. She was struggling pretty substantially to provide for herself and her family. The father of her children was not in the picture. And she had a really hard time coming up with not only the personal aspect of caring for children, but the financial woes that come alongside that. Of her two twins, we know the most about Kaywan Mason. And he is just 3 years old, happy, giggling little boy. Unfortunately, he knows far too well the hardships of a life of struggle, despite his young age and happy demeanor by nature. His mother had a temper and would have violent outbursts at times. Occasionally, the kids would be the subject of her temper, and she would have a hard time restraining herself. All three reportedly suffered abuse at her hands at one time or another. Doesn't say to what degree, but she also had a habit of leaving the kids at home alone a lot of times. And while she was out one time, she got caught, and in early 2017, Geraldine is arrested on a reckless conduct charge. And Fulton County Department of Children and Family Services gets involved and assumes responsibility for her three children, including three-year-old Kaywan and his twin brother. So Geraldine enters the court system on top of dealing with her charges and her arrest. She's also occupied with this huge problem of what to do with her children. The father is not involved. She doesn't really have people in her life that she can count on to take three kids in without notice at this point in her life. But once consulted with the judge, she suggests a friend of hers, the boy's godmother specifically, to act as fictive kin for the three children. So do any of you guys know what fictive kin means?
I don't.
Don't even need to ask me.
Just skip me for all questions.
No, Billy doesn't know.
So fictive kin means you are assigning somebody who is close to the family but not directly related to take guardianship or responsibility of the child. So she chooses a friend who's not related but who knows her. She's, you know, the godmother to her child. Right. And she chooses her friend Glendria Morris. So this was a worthy suggestion on the court's perspective because it meant one less hang up in the way of getting Geraldine charged and out of their hair. They just want them to be dealt with. They don't want to dilly-dally with, you know, where to put the kids. So they're like, great, we have an option. We have a place to put the kids. But first, DCFS was like, well, wait, we have to do a home visit. We have to assess Glendria's apartment. We have to see if it's safe and acceptable to house children. But this, unfortunately, being the proper way to proceed, all the courts here is just more time, more annoyances, can't get Geraldine in and out because there's, you know, all this stuff going on. So they decide to kind of jump the gun and make a move that essentially cuts DCFS out of the picture. And they file a petition to assign temporary custody to Glendria Morris on June 15th of 2017. Could not find information about where in the system these children were in those 3 months between March at the time of her arrest and June when they're placed with Glendria. But they're all three go to the Glendria home. They already have existing children in the home. Couldn't really find a head count, but it seems like there was a lot of people. And this is a small two-bedroom apartment that they're sharing. Sure. So being that the Department of Children and Family Services has effectively been removed from the situation, they close the case and they don't pursue any further motions or efforts towards the Mason children. Like, as far as they're concerned, they've told the court, we disagree, this is what we think should happen. And the court's like, too bad, we're giving custody to them anyway. So they kind of wipe their hands of it. They're like, this is, you know, we've done our piece, we've tried. As I mentioned, Glendria shared her small two-bedroom apartment in which she was behind on rent on with her sister, LaShirley Morris. And they had an unknown number of children living in the home and took on the added responsibility of the three Mason children. Along with the existing children that they had, a number of other adults were in and out of the home frequently, including a man who stayed at the unkept Morris apartment from time to time. Kaywan and his twin brother and their siblings, so all three of the Mason children, are immediately thrust into a very different type of environment than the one that they're used to. And albeit they didn't come from a great environment to begin with, but this home was small, it was dirty, the Morris sisters didn't really prioritize like a tidy household or keeping things, you know, hygienic. So there were empty food containers, dirty dishes all over the counters, adorning the sink in the kitchen, and a number of pest control efforts were deployed to keep the large number of flies, spiders, and cockroaches at bay. Even still, the three little children, they're like any young kids, they enjoy playtime. But Glendria's sister, LaShirley, was not one to tolerate typical children like screaming or horseplay, and she'd frequently yell and punish the children with a variety of tactics, including everything from hitting and slapping them to even withholding meals from the children. This all goes sight unseen since there's not really anyone checking in on these kids. Mom's in jail, DCFS is not involved, the courts have done their thing. Sometime later, their mother, Geraldine, is released from jail, and she's pretty swiftly reunited with one of her three children. But Kaywan and his brother remain in the cockroach-infested apartment, and it's not clear if Geraldine realizes at this point the severity of the situation that her children are in, but she ends up asking the court for temporary guardianship to continue for the twin boys so that she can work on getting back to her feet. There were some sources that said that during her time in jail, she lost her apartment, so I don't know if a lot of that was her trying to come up with a place to live. I don't know if that weighed on the decision, but she ultimately tells the court, yeah, she can keep my kids for a little while I get my stuff together. During mistake. These coming weeks. What's that?
Mistake.
Well, sounds like it could be, David. Very well. Get the matches. So during the coming weeks, Geraldine would make multiple attempts to meet Glendria at her home so that she could see her children. But time after time, excuses would start to get in the way. At first, it was small and understandable issues like scheduling conflicts, bad timing, but eventually the excuses began to get more bizarre in nature and included Geraldine, included her telling Geraldine that they, quote, need to learn manners and get some home training. So that was her reason for not letting her see her children, is that the kids needed, these three-year-old twins needed some home training because of their manners.
That shit don't make any sense whatsoever.
Right?
No.
Oh,
no.
Yeah. But for reasons that are unknown, Geraldine doesn't really bring any attention to this matter. And she just kind of goes through the motion of not being able to see her kids until sometime in mid-October. And she's finally able to visit her children. She notices that both of them have some suspicious scratches and bruises on their bodies. And she asks Glendria about the marks and was met with a questionable explanation that the boys were roughhousing and sustained the injuries by, you know, just horseplay in the home. You guys, most of you are parents. Are you buying that?
No.
Yeah.
No. If I'm told that, I'm looking into it straight away. Nowhere.
Yeah.
I'm not believing that.
How are you not pulling them out of that house right now?
That's what I mean. That's what I was just going to say. Like, if that was me, like, I'd be kicking the door in and just taking them.
Yeah.
Exactly.
I mean.
So keep in mind, again, the courts have assigned guardianship to her, but even still, your reaction is dead on. That's definitely, as a devoted parent, you're kicking in
meanwhile, the roaches are holding their legs, pulling them back. And you're like,
getting stuck in spider web. It deserves to be burned down, it sounds like. So just like you guys, Geraldine, however troubled she was still a mother, and her mother's intuition would not let her accept this answer as the truth, and she just couldn't rest. And sometime in mid-October, Geraldine reaches out to the courts and requests that they remove Kaywan and his brother from Glendria Morris's guardianship. A couple days later, October 18th, the court's judge returns with the decision that they have denied this request. Reasons for this are not notated in any of the research that I performed. Geraldine has very little recourse here since DCFS is not involved in their children's care. It's really her versus the court. So 3 days later, October 21st, 2017, Kaywan and his brother spend the morning crying with empty bellies, possibly enduring punishment for something that they did by the Morris sisters, or perhaps they just simply forgot to feed them that day. Whatever the case, Kaywan makes his way into the dirty, fly and roach infested kitchen and meanders among the trash. To his little three-year-old heart's delight, he stumbles upon probably the best thing that any child can stumble upon. He comes across a plastic tray of delicious-looking cupcakes, and he helps himself to one. Food deprivation wasn't uncommon for these boys for the last few months, and they learned pretty quickly that crying didn't get them any further than just kind of accepting. And even the Morris's own children were subject to this kind of thing. They were known for making their way next door to the neighbor's house to knock on the door and beg for food at times. So this is a commonplace thing that these children weren't being fed properly.
That's crazy that this was allowed in 2013 and 14 as well. It's, you know, it's not like, oh, it baffles my head.
It's unfortunately disappointing how many people were technically involved and said nothing. So
yeah.
So the Morris sisters normally would leave the children at home for random durations of time, which is ironic, seeing as that is how Geraldine originally lost custody of her children. And it's very likely that Kaywan probably thought he could just get away with enjoying the cupcake without anyone really knowing the wiser. But on this day, both Glendria and her temper-stricken sister, LaShirley, are home. And when LaShirley enters the kitchen for unrelated reasons, she stumbles upon Kaywan eagerly devouring the sugary treat. She's overwhelmed with blind rage. She was saving that cupcake, maybe for herself, maybe for someone else, but she had not given that toddler permission to eat it. Rather than smile and just take what was left away from the little boy, LaShirley felt the only acceptable repercussion at this point was to arm herself with a baseball bat, drag the boy to the tight and painful grip of her sister Glendria, and strike the boy repeatedly in the head and torso and the butt, all while Glendria took turns slapping the boy in the face, across the arms, across the legs. So this assault goes on for a number of minutes, and poor three-year-old Kaywan's screams eventually turn into little gasps as his fragile body is just pummeled by these two grown women. When the sisters have finished doling out their punishment for the stolen snack, worth all but a couple dollars at most, Kaywan is unresponsive and barely breathing. Rather than get him immediate help, the sisters do nothing and continue lounging about in the filthy home where trash bags of moldy, dirty clothing line the hall. Eventually, after some period of time, the sisters calmly and collectively dial 911, and they have a relatively relaxed conversation with the operator in which they report that they gave Daywan a cupcake and he choked and then just isn't breathing. They're trying to help him, and the operator is instructing the sisters on how to perform CPR and encouraging them to continue to try to get air into the child. But Morris pretty emotionlessly reports that just Kaywan's not breathing, and each time the operator asks, you know, kind of coaches them through how to give him CPR, she'll break and she'll ask, is he breathing? And she'll just be like, no. Very unemotional. Paramedics arrive and they immediately get Kaywan into the ambulance and begin heading quickly to Atlanta Medical Center to try to save his life, seemingly unaware that Kaywan's been deceased for some time, unfortunately. Police at the home conduct interviews of the sisters who repeat the cupcake choking story, alleging that the paramedics took too long to get there, which is why the boy died. So just putting the blame on a bunch of innocent people that are just trying to help, which is super, super sweet. However, when retelling the story, Glendria makes a little adjustment to the tale that they originally gave. And she goes on to say, he did choke on the cupcake, but they were able to remove it. And Kaywan was breathing again and even talking a little. And then they continue to explain that after being assured he was okay, they laid him down for a nap and they just happened upon him and he had stopped breathing in his sleep. So that's the explanation for why he's been there for some time. Again, you guys buying this?
Fuck no.
It's I'm lost for words, quite literally.
I have a question for everyone.
Yeah.
What the fuck is wrong with people?
Yeah.
How much time you got?
The thing is, though, like, they're trying to claim that he's choked, but they've battered him with a baseball bat. Like, that's going to be that's going to be blatantly obvious that that is not the case.
Yeah, you've got to look into the mindset of people and think, where is your... I just don't understand how
humanity.
Some people just don't have humanity. I don't know.
But it's also stupidity. Like I say, they're trying to claim that he choked when he's quite clearly going to have broken bones, bruised left, right, and center. It's just stupidity as well as anything else.
Yeah. Very good point. Now, for whatever reason, probably because the beating had just happened and bruising wasn't really evident at that point yet, without evidence, apart from this disgusting pest-infested household, the sisters aren't immediately arrested. But as expected, Kaywon arrives at the hospital and is pronounced deceased pretty much immediately, despite CPR taking place the entire ambulance ride. They do notate that in their records that it appears he's been deceased for a couple hours, likely, and the police begin collecting information about Geraldine and how to reach her, but the two Morris sisters are not cooperating and they're not giving over any information whatsoever. 2 days go by after the boys declare deceased, and the Fulton County Medical Examiner's Office forwards the report to the investigators assigned to the case, and the report is conclusive. Despite the sisters' feeble attempts to hide the truth, the cause of death is ruled as blunt force trauma, and the report details dozens of bruises against Kaywon's little three-year-old arms, legs, back, head, cheeks, and buttocks. Less than 2 days after the report is released, police arrive at the home of LaShirley Morris and Glendria Morris and arrest them. A child in the home is positively able to identify LaShirley as the one wielding the bat, which is even more heartbreaking. And there's a little kid that witnessed this and was able to say, yep, she beat him.
Wow.
That is just adding insult to injury at this point. Through a court system loophole, the sisters are technically able to post bail following their arrest, which is disgusting, although it was outside of their affordability at that time. But police questioned the pair thoroughly and just met with refuse and nope, he choked on this cupcake and sticking to their guns. Finally, in December of 2020, nearly 3 years later, LaShirley finally admits her role in Kaywon's death. And she pleads guilty to a laundry list of charges related to murdering the sweet and innocent three-year-old toddler. She is found guilty on one count of murder, 2 counts of felony murder, a count of aggravated assault, cruelty to children in the first degree, and cruelty to children in the third degree. She is given a life sentence with the possibility of parole, but due to a lack of evidence about Glendria's role in the child's death, her case is taken a little bit less seriously and she's not pushed as hard. And as of the time of this episode, from everything that I could find online about her charges, everything is still pending. It seems like she's still being held, from what I could tell, but she's not been charged with anything formally. Now, she was the one who was slapping the boy, but regardless, even if you didn't lay a hand on him, you were present when your sister took a baseball bat to a three-year-old child. You deserve to rot.
Damn right.
Yeah, just allowing it to happen just makes you just as guilty, in my opinion.
100%.
Absolutely. And then stack that on top of the fact that she was already neglecting her own children in the home. Absolutely. She needs to go down.
I feel like they need, like, LaShirley, right? Was the one with the bat?
Was the one with the bat.
I feel like she definitely needs to be, like, I don't know. I'm thinking of hell right now. I'm thinking she needs to, like, someone choke her with a cupcake every single day and smack around with a bat every single day.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That, so she doesn't ever forget what she did to that baby.
Absolutely.
It's horrific beyond belief. I have a son who's 5 years old now, and I can just imagine the damage that a single baseball bat strike would do, even to his foot, to his leg, the pain that he would suffer. You know, if he has a little fall and knocks his head against the wall, he's crying in pain. I can't imagine a three-year-old going through that torture. It really frightens me that someone in this world is capable of inflicting that kind of torture. It's sick.
Very well said. It is frightening that we walk amongst this planet with people who are capable of that. And I don't know if you both, well, you're in the same room, so I guess you can just share it. But I have sent you guys on Instagram some photos. Unfortunately, there are not a lot of images that exist out there of Kaywon due to his life of just having people who didn't really seem to give a shit about him. But I did find one really adorable little photo and then two very disturbing photos of both Glendria and LaShirley, who quite honestly, are quite scary in their mugshots. I mean, I think at one point Glendria is smiling in her mugshot.
Wow. Yeah.
Yeah. Wow. I can't understand.
Wow.
The mental behind that.
Adorable little boy as well. Whole world ahead of him. Taken away from him.
Very adorable little boy. So during the summer following their arrest, I did find that Glendria had requested to lower her bail, which was originally set at $200,000. And she wanted to lower it to between $50,000 and $75,000. During the hearing, Kaywan's grandmother took the stand to deliver a tearful plea to keep her bail the same, to dissuade her from being able to get out, repeating words that were said to her by the Morris sisters at the time of their arrest. And she said, "She told me out of her mouth before I even got the autopsy back that he had been beaten about the cupcake." She said this between tears at the 2018 hearing. The judge luckily felt the same and denied her request for the lower bail. I can't find any update after that in relation to her charges or her hand in this. I can't find anywhere that says that she's currently in prison. So I really hope that she is. If not, any of y'all who don't care about your life, go take her out, because we don't need people like that walking around.
Yeah, lower the bail, get her out, do what she did to that little boy.
Absolutely.
Amanda, what about his brother? His twin brother.
So his brother, also no information, unfortunately, with cases that involve other minors. There's not often information, but he is definitely not in that home anymore. More than likely, he's either with his mother, Geraldine, or he's back in the court system, which is not ideal either way. So literally nobody in this situation, you know, came out with any kind of positive.
Nobody wins.
This little boy, from the moment he was born, was just set up for failure by the people that were entrusted to care for him.
So the child who, like, who basically, like, you know, confirmed what had happened, do we know how old that child was?
I don't. And any information about the other kids in the home wasn't disclosed on any of the reports, but it looks like there were several of them, and they were probably, you know, toddlers or preteens or something in that age, based on what I read.
I'm just thinking, like, if they're old enough to remember that, that's going to fuck them up for a long time.
Yep.
Oh, I'm sure they're old enough to remember, based on the fact that it was like 2 days apart where they had learned that how he died, and then went to arrest her, and the boy had said, "Yeah, I witnessed this." Actually, it was 4 days from the boy's death that they were arrested, so that he remembered for over those 4 days what had happened.
Just imagine seeing the boy on the ground after seeing that attack, and a kid probably knew what happened.
Yeah.
And then nobody gets help for him. And
he's just there.
I was going to say the neighbors as well. I mean, you know, the kids going around there asking for food.
Mm.
That's a red flag.
Yeah.
You've got to act on that. I mean, I don't get me wrong. They'll be torturing themselves about it now that they didn't do anything. But there were so many, you know, chances to prevent that from happening.
Yeah.
So many opportunities from somebody else to help out and put their input on the situation. But yeah, unfortunately, not the way it turned out.
Well said. The thing that burns me the most is that not only did the courts remove DCFS's ability to be involved, because normally if they were involved, they would have caseworkers visiting the home and interviewing and doing assessments. Likely they wouldn't have even approved Glendria to take the children because of the state of her home. Her own landlord was like, "Oh yeah, she keeps a nasty apartment. She doesn't pay rent." So like, there's so many people that were aware of children living in these conditions. And then to not only assign guardianship that revokes DCFS's ability to get involved, but then to go ahead and deny it when the mother's like, "My kids are being assaulted in the home. I need you to pull them." And then they say no and don't provide a reason. 100% like, yeah, she held the bat, but Fulton County Court, you guys killed this little boy. Like,
yeah, I was going to say, the system failed this little boy. They cost him his life.
So very, very tragic. That is unfortunately the story of how everybody entrusted to care for this little boy failed him. Yeah, and in particular, how the world lost just one very bright and shining little star on October 21st of 2017, a star by the name of Kaywan Mason, which is not that long ago. I mean, we're talking 7 years ago that this little boy died. That's so these people are still out here.
Yeah.
So I do want to touch on something that you guys had mentioned a little bit earlier, and it is our What Would You Do section. And I'm only asking for this episode because I want to know, if you are Geraldine, you know your babies are being abused, you have that intuition, but you're powerless legally to stop it. What are you doing to take action?
I'm getting them out and I'm going as far away as I need to evade whatever, you know, I cannot leave my child in that situation. It doesn't matter what it takes. It doesn't matter the length of time, the risks, anything. It doesn't matter. Your child comes first and foremost. I can't imagine how it is over there in terms of what the law is going to do if they get older, but to me, it doesn't matter. You take the risk. You don't even think about what could happen. All you're thinking about is, that's my child. I don't think my child's safe. Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah, same to be fair. I'd reach, like I said before, you know, kicking doors down.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Like I said, I mean, I got angry over toast.
Yeah, I hate to see what you'd throw across the room over a child. Jesus.
Yeah. I think when you have a child as well yourself, it's that story is it's in a different light. It's already sad enough as it is, but the age, it really hits home when you have a child and you've been through that sort of age. You have just 3 years old. 3 years old, it's any age is sick, of course, but
yeah. And not that it would be acceptable regardless of the cause, but just to be beaten to death over a cupcake, a cupcake. Yeah.
Exactly. That's just,
yeah.
I mean, I like my food, but not that much.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. See, you guys change your mind now about what you do if someone ate your food, though, right? The story changed that for you. You guys are like, oh, I'd beat somebody up.
Maybe depending.
Not with a bat. Come on, man. A bat.
Yeah, that's crazy.
That's ridiculous.
Yeah, when I say it's slap, obviously 3 years old crying, it's hungry and stuff. It's a whole different story.
Right.
But yeah.
All I was thinking then, though, was like how you said, Billy, like obviously you've got little, and like I said, Jaden, like I said, when he'll have been 3 year old, he'll have gone over, like you say, banged his head or something. And it's like,
yeah,
it is the worst noise you've ever heard in your life, isn't it?
It goes.
And that's just from an accident.
Yeah.
So imagine the noises he'll have been.
I can't.
Exactly. That's the thing in my head at the minute. It's like, so fucking me up.
Liam will have seen my complete energy has changed. I've gone from sitting upright, all joyful. I'm very slouched right now.
He's had to put his jumper back on.
I'm not happy unless I'm depressing you guys.
You know what bothers me, though, is the one thing that you had said earlier. Geraldine was the mother, right? She also was abusive, pretty abusive. Yeah. So even if you go and you take them out, let's say you take them out, you take both of the boys out, and you're on the run. If you get caught, you're going right back to prison.
Yeah.
And where are those boys going? You know what I'm saying? Exactly. The other thing is, let's say you got away. You got away. You're living in Alaska now, and it's fine. No one's looking for you. Those ladies didn't want them back or what have you. But now you're the one stressed out trying to find a way to keep everyone alive, and you're still abusing these children.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Is that
a chance? Yeah, it's awful.
It's rough, man. It's rough.
I do want to mention, too, that every single thing that I read in terms of my research detailed that she was abusive and that she was charged and the children were taken because of that. I did stumble upon someone who covered this case in a YouTube video. They did not list sources, so I don't know where they got the information. But in their video, they did they painted Geraldine as like a very loving and doting mother who was just like trying to work and didn't have childcare. So if that happens to somehow be the case and every single other article has it wrong and somebody knows different, please send me a reliable source so I can redact that, because everything that I'm finding, including the court documents of why she was arrested, say that she had been abusive at times to her children and that she had a little bit of an anger problem. Something else I'd also like to know, not again that it would change my opinion, but where was the bat in the home? Is that something where she had the idea and she went to another room and picked it up and went in with the intention? Or was it just there and she just grabbed it? You know, like, I'm just curious to know what level of premeditation there was for the assault with the bat.
Absolutely. That'll have been a key factor in the charges, I'm sure, somewhere down the line. That's the first thing you've got to look for as an officer, isn't it? Is intent.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
I suppose they're not going to really have any proof of where the bat was originally, either, because, I mean, quite clearly they're not going to tell the truth, either. So.
No, yeah, it's tricky. It's tricky. But looking at things like, as you say, premeditation, things like that, you know, have these bats been used before? Things like that, yeah.
Well, the thought that you're saying, you know, did she intend to murder this boy for the cupcake? And yeah. Or was she just trying to teach him a lesson that she said?
I mean, if you hit a 3-year-old over the head with a baseball bat, I mean, I can't see them just the little tap, you know, that doesn't come to mind. Say you're beating a child with a baseball bat. That one blow could be enough. Mm.
So I think the intent is if he's not moving anymore and he's just there and you go and sit down, just watch TV.
Yeah.
You intended to kill this little boy. That's what I think. I mean, they weren't, oh shit, we fucked up. We went too far. There was no concern whatsoever.
No. It's the slapping as well. Mm. You know, as in a baseball bat, you haven't done enough.
No.
Then you resort to the physical with your hands on.
Yeah, exactly.
It's
really, really disappointing. And my heart breaks. I break a little bit for Geraldine. And I know that she also kind of seems like a POS based on how she's kind of described throughout these documents. But to come out of jail and be working so hard to get your child out of a situation that you know is not good, and you're being bound by all, you know, like resources legally, and and just really breaks my heart.
Sorry, the fact that somebody has to come out to protect the child that's meant to be placed into protection is crazy.
I know.
Yeah.
Give it to me. Give it to me. She yelled, I'm so wet. I need it right now. She could scream all she wanted, but I wasn't giving her the umbrella. Stay tuned for this amazing trailer from our friends at I Think My Fridge is Haunted podcast.
Hi, Lana.
Oh, hi, Gemma.
We are I Think My Fridge is Haunted,
a very creepy podcast for very creepy people.
Coming to you all the way from Melbourne, Australia.
Catch up with us for season 6 as we discuss the mushroom deaths of Leongatha.
Yes, it's a thing.
The Beast of Bray Road. And the alien abduction of Terry Lovelace, as well as a stack of true crime stories and cold cases.
Find us on all major podcasting platforms. Just look for the ghostie in the pink fridge.
Until then, be creepy.
But don't be a creep.
And we're back to your favorite podcast host on planet Earth. And if that's not how you feel, I'm gonna find you, and I'm gonna...
So our too cool for school fact, I don't have a real good one for this one because finding anything and defining it as cool doesn't really jive with the story, but I did find some interesting information about Atlanta's crime average. And in general, Atlanta, Georgia has about a 122% higher crime rate than that of the national average, so across the U.S. Of that, violent crime is a rate 253% higher, according to a world census that was only completed in February of this year. So stay strapped and don't lose your kids in Atlanta, guys.
Yeah,
geez. Not moving there. Fuck that.
Not moving to Atlanta.
Oh, as if the vampires don't put you off already.
Are there vampires in Atlanta? Did I miss that?
Supposedly, yes. We did a story on that before, didn't we?
Oh, okay. Yep. Nope. That's ringing a bell now. Not a ton of sources for this story because everybody just regurgitated the article that 11 Alive produced. So pretty much everywhere that you can find is going to say the same thing. But I did find a couple of details on findagrave.com. Atlanta Journal-Constitution Media had some really great information, including snippets of the 911 call. I couldn't find the whole thing in its entirety or I would have played it for you. But there's like a couple seconds of snippets on there in between some media coverage that they ran on the story. Also, a local Atlanta community Facebook page where there was some people who knew of the situation. Go, oh, yeah, we knew about that house. Okay, so many people. So many people had the chance. This brings me back to Sylvia Likens. Like, if you see say something. Don't let children be neglected and abused. They literally don't have a voice.
Yeah.
Speak up.
Yeah.
Also, as always, Reddit. You guys came through with a couple details. So, as always, Redditors, thank you for your service. You guys probably, like, are the foundation of our podcast at this point. My question of the week for all of you listening, if you were asked to take custody of a child in your family, would you? Why or why not? So go ahead and drop your answers. You can see that on TikTok, Instagram, Twitter, and Facebook. Drop your answers in there or DM us or email us, and we will include them in our next episode. Our hint for that episode is it's our Mother's Day episode. It's going to both rip your heart in two and fill your heart with admiration all at once. I'm sure you guys are really eager. I made it sound so fun. But that's coming to you May 14th, so set your alarms. Are you guys ready for the joke of the day?
Joke of the day.
Joke of the day.
First off, I'm just laughing at Billy's face because he's very confused when he said Mother's Day.
I was, yeah.
Because we've already had Mother's Day over here.
Oh, have you? Yeah, we went for Mother's Day.
It's in May for us. It's in May.
Oh, wow. Mother's is in February, isn't it? Yeah.
We make them wait over here.
Billy just thought we were actually in an actual time machine, then, didn't you, Mitch?
I did. Hang on, I have to spend another £100.
Oh, my God. Okay. Okay, we got
Billy
this.
Was going to burn it all down.
You got to burn it to the ground? I just had to get my other phone because my annoying self has two. I know this is a heavy episode, guys. I don't want to make light of this really, really gruesome death involving this little boy. But we're going to bring it back up with a little bit of a joke. And this is going to be geared towards social workers because I don't want to do a joke about children and murder. And there's nothing funny that happens in Atlanta at all. I looked, so.
There's vampires.
That's true. There are. So our joke of the day, a husband and a wife who work for the circus go to an adoption agency looking to adopt a child. The social workers there have some doubts that they raise about their suitability. So the couple produce photos of their 50-foot motorhome, which is clean, well-maintained, and equipped with a beautiful nursery. The social workers are satisfied by that, but then they raise concerns about the kind of education that the child would get while in the couple's care. The husband puts their mind at ease, saying, "Look, we've arranged for a full-time tutor who will teach the child all the subjects along with French, Mandarin, and even computer skills." And the social workers are pretty happy with that, but then they express concerns about the child being raised in a circus environment. And this time, the wife explains, "Oh, no, don't even worry. Our nanny is a certified expert in pediatric care, welfare, and diet, so we have all bases covered." The social workers are finally satisfied, and they're pretty happy about this couple adopting, and they say, "Okay, you guys seem like really fit parents. What age child are you hoping to adopt?" The husband replies, "Doesn't really matter so long as the kid fits in a cannon."
Okay, now. Yeah.
Oh, little bit of a circus.
Great delivery. Great delivery.
So Liam and Billy, all things considered, it was a delight to have you guys on this one. I know it was pretty terrible. For our listeners who, again, haven't found you yet, can you go on and share with us where we can find your show, how we can follow you on social media, what kind of big, juicy 5-star reviews you guys want, you know, all the stuff.
Yeah, well, we're on everywhere, really, aren't we? Everywhere you get your podcasts.
Everywhere? Are you on OnlyFans?
Yeah.
Wow. Look at that.
But yeah, everywhere you get your podcast, obviously, mainly on Instagram, we're on Twitter, we're on TikTok, we're on Facebook. Everywhere you can find us, really.
Yeah, we have a link tree in all of our social media pages. So, I mean, if you click on that link tree, it'll bring them all up. Obviously, we have our own merch and things as well.
Nice.
The Instagram's the most active, and that's let's_talkaboutpod. If anyone wants to give us a follow.
Yeah. Absolutely. And if you open the door for dad jokes and puns, Liam is going to deliver. Let me just tell you.
Damn right.
Can I tell you my chicken and cow 10 joke? 10-month
pregnant. What's that?
Can I tell you my chicken and cow joke then, seeing as this has been a very depressing episode?
Oh, absolutely. Yes. Anything to pick us up at this point. Yeah. I'm about to
start. I've already told you it, so.
You told me your chicken and cow joke?
Yeah, I've told you it before.
Apparently it went well.
Yeah.
It must have. I remember it so well.
So there's a chicken on a bus. Yeah. Okay. So he just sat there, and then a cow gets out of the bus. And the cow walks up to the chicken and goes, "Move." So then the chicken just looks up at him and goes, "Fuck off!"
I don't remember that one. I think the favorite one that you told me was, what's the difference between a chickpea and a lentil? I was so innocent. I'm like, what's the difference? And he said, "Oh, I've never had a lentil on my face." I stole that one. I tell that one from time to time. It's a good one. It's a really good one.
Oh, my other favorite one. What's lever and sounds like a sneeze? A shoe.
What's level and sounds like a sneeze?
Lever, not level. What's lever?
I don't get it. What's lever to do with shoes?
You get leather shoes, don't you?
Oh, leather.
Oh, leather shoes.
My bad.
Sorry.
Like lever?
Stupid Americans in the house.
Well, that lever looks just like a shoe.
Now that's a lever.
That's a good point. Good point.
Right. Gotcha.
God. Well, it was so great to have you guys on. Thank you so much for spending some time with us. And this one was a really sad one, I know, but you guys did it great. And we had a really good time. So thank you so much for coming on. Do you have any parting words for our peeps?
Yeah, absolutely. These guys are great. You know, we've had a real laugh on here, haven't we?
I mean, this has been a long time in the mix, and this has been
right before I made you suicidal and depressed. It was great. We had a good time.
Yeah. It went from one extreme to the other.
It did. That's what we do best.
I'm gonna lay in bed and I'm gonna put my face in my pillow and think of what
to say. Hey, don't hate me, but I kind of want a cupcake. Is that bad?
I mean, Kwan made him sound really delicious. So
as long as
he did.
Yeah. I wish that there was something that we had to remember, like, you know, for our Harley Dilly episode, every time we saw Penny, it was like our listeners would kind of think of him. There's not a whole lot about anything that he enjoyed or if he liked dinosaurs or robots or like there's like no information about him in his life apart from just suffering. So just try your best to make it through the day thinking about him. And if you feel so inclined to like post about him, he's not a well-known case by any means. And I think his little voice, as little and silented as he was, deserves to be heard. So please do think about him as you go about your day. If you have children of your own, give him a hug. And please, for all that is fucking holy, if you see or hear something concerning, speak up. Takes nothing out of your time. Who cares if a cop wastes their time? Who cares? Just call. That's my 2 cents.
Yeah.
Couldn't agree. Most of you probably want to off yourselves right now, but for the next one,
stay alive.